My name is John Davis. Today is Thursday, the 8th of August, 2013, and I'm about to interview Mr. Steve Baker. Steve, will you please introduce yourself and tell me where and when you were born?
My name's Steve Baker. I'm from the Forest of Dean. I was born in 1972 at the Dilcostable Hospital in Cinderford.
Steve, which years did you work at Fielding and Platt?
Well, I started in the summer of 1988, and I left July 2000.
Okay, and during that time, Steve, what was your principal or your final occupation?
A design engineer, principally mechanically, but also a little bit of hydraulics as well.
Okay. Now, can you tell me, please, how you come to hear about Fieldings? Was it from someone you knew who worked there, or was it from your school, or what was it?
Well, I hadn't heard of Fielding and Platt at all, which, having then learnt the history, I'm amazed that that was the case. But when I was looking at what I was going to do when I left school, myself and a friend, Paul Maliband, were both interested in drawing, engineering. And Paul heard of Fieldings from one of his cousins.
Okay. So, obviously, you said you were looking for something to do, you were interested in drawing. But was it possibly, did that stem for anything that you'd learnt at school?
Yes. And also from my dad. My dad was a builder, so at home he was always inventing little things and making things, so I was interested in creating things and solving problems. And then at school I liked art, I liked drawing, so I was doing technical drawing as well, and I liked that side of it. I did like the artistic side, but I also liked the technical drawing side. And I liked maths and physics, all the things that you needed really to become a design engineer. I must admit I wanted to be an architect, but when I learned how long it took to become an architect, that kind of put me off. So design engineer, I thought, oh well, that sounds okay.
You're obviously you're a bit impatient to get going then. Well, that, you mentioned a lot of subjects, Steve. Which school did you attend?
Well, I went to Abernor School, which is near Mitchell Dean, which whilst I was there it changed to a comprehensive school and was then called Dean Magna, which it still is now.
Okay, so you heard of Fieldings, you and Paul, and tell me about your first visit. Was it to apply for a job or work experience, or what was it?
Yes, well, I was applying to various companies. Having heard of Fielding and Platt from Paul, I applied to Fieldings, and Paul had applied as well. I'd applied to Doughty's and a few other well-known Gloucester engineering companies. And Fieldings wrote back and invited both of us up to come together on the same day to meet Les Spooner and come and have a look around the place, really. A kind of interview, but it was quite informal. It was quite a nice day, actually, quite an eye-opener.
Leslie Spooner was a managing director, as I recall. So it was more or less just a friendly chat, was it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Okay, and what year would that have been, Steve?
That was 1987, about October, I think. I'm stretching my memory, but I think it was about October.
So while you were there, you obviously had an interview with Leslie Spooner. Did you get taken on a tour of the works at all, or was it your visit just confined to the offices?
No, I seem to remember we were shown all around the company. So we went out into the drawing office, and I'm sure I met yourself, John, because I seem to remember being surprised to meet a fellow person from Drybrook in the corner of the office there. And then also we went down the works, and Ron Yardley showed us around the workshop, very impressed by the size of the building. In fact, I remember the day I came, this 1987, at first I couldn't find the offices because it's hidden up Church Street at the time. And I ended up at the workshop because that was the only thing with Fielding and Platon that I could find. And I knocked on the door, and I think Jim Brint came out and he pointed me up the goat track.
That famous goat track, that's been mentioned quite a lot. Pretty impressive, though, I suppose, that big erection hall then, Steve. Had you ever seen anything that big before?
No, not at all. No, very, very impressive.
Okay, so can we jump ahead now to when you actually started work? You said you came from the Forest of Dean. How do you travel to Gloucester, Steve?
When I started, it was I just finished my exams, July 1988. I was looking forward to a long summer, and I think Paul was as well, and starting in the September, but we got a phone call. I don't know whose idea it was, perhaps it was Tim's, but Tim Lodge, that is. We then started in the July, so we were travelling in on the bus, Cottrell's coach, and we did 6 weeks or so of sort of work experience, and I travelled in on the bus, I'm sure. Yeah, I travelled in on a bus for that period.
How about the journey, Steve? Do you remember much about it? What places you went through? Any interesting bits along the way? Other factories or anything of interest?
I don't really. I mean, it's a journey I did anyway. It wasn't a new journey to me. Though it was different from going to school. Obviously now, coming out of the forest, being a forest lad and never travelled very far beyond its borders.
Okay, right. Stretching your memory then back to those days. What did you do in your first week or so, and who did you work with?
Well, I was down the workshop, and the first thing that I did was work in the stores with, it was, I think, Dennis Callahan, and John Topping was there as well. And I think I spent perhaps a week or so working with them, putting things away, finding things, identifying things, starting to know some of the different components which we were selling as spares all around the world. That was a week or so. Then I think I was on inspection with Ron. I may have it mixed up, but within this sort of 6 week period, I did maybe a week doing some inspection.
Yeah.
And then I seem to remember myself and Paul being given the job of needling, this is with the air needles, cleaning off a bottom table off a 400 ton three mode concrete press, which took quite a while and was a very dirty job.
Much different than being a score. How about the working hours, Steve? Can you remember what they were?
Well, they did change during my time. I've scratched my head to try and remember them exactly, but I think the workshop where I started was starting about 8 o'clock, and we had a break at 10 o'clock for 15 minutes. Then lunch was half an hour, which was quarter to one until quarter past one. And we were finishing at 4:30. Now, it did change, though, and this is my memory possibly of when I finished. And on a Friday, we were finishing at 3:30. But then when I went to the offices, that was slightly different. We had a little bit longer for lunch. We didn't have the 15-minute break in the morning. And we were finishing about 4:45. I think the idea there was to miss the mad rush of rush hour.
Okay, so you sort of got your feet under the table, as to say. How about technical college, Steve? Did you have to attend a college?
Yes, well, after we did my 6 weeks of initial experience and getting to know people and the company a little bit, we went to the GTG. So that was around the September of 88. And we did 9 months at the Gloucester Training Group out on Eastern Avenue, Chancellor Close,
yeah,
where we did a broad range of training. A little bit like the original Fielding Apprentice School would do. It wasn't quite as broad as that because It was a small training school. You didn't have the advantage of all the different departments within the company that you could see, but it was similar. It was a shrunken version of it. Some machining, some welding, some fitting, some electrical work.
But that was just in the daytime, I take it, not in the evenings at all.
And then one day a week, we went to Gloscap at Brunswick Road, as it was, to do what was it? HNC. It was to do the HNC.
That was HNC Mechanical, was it?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So you've done some time in the works, various places. Then I understand you went into the drawing office. Can you remember which of the company's products you worked on to begin with?
Yes. At that time, so this is 1989 now, about the summer of 89, a lot of what we were doing was the 400-ton concrete press range of products. We had several presses going through the works. I particularly remember single mould presses at that time. One for Switzerland, I remember.
Yeah.
And one for France. Collot for France and Gerb Müller for Switzerland. And there were lots of spares orders involving tooling for concrete presses. So that was the main thing that I was introduced to.
So you're actually on a conventional drawing board then, Steve, drawing up items, were you?
Yes, I started on the drawing board, and that was something I really wanted to do because I did like drawing, and I wanted to get my drawing, my handwriting tidy and do nice drawings. That was something I was particularly keen on.
Well, my memory tells you, you certainly did a good job at that. So you're on the drawing board for quite a while, but I understand at some stage this CAD or computer-aided design was introduced. Did you get onto that fairly early?
Yes, I think that was about 91, 92, when we had an ME10 system, which was a Hewlett-Packard CAD system, which was 2D CAD. We got that system because we got an order for a plate stretcher, and part of the terms of that was that the drawings must be produced on a CAD system. At least the assembly drawings must be produced on a CAD system. So that gave the excuse for us as a drawing office to invest that money in a CAD system.
Did you get sent away on a course to learn about this CAD system?
Yes, we did. There was a couple of us that took it up, Paul Maliband and myself, I think, might have been the first two. And we did go away for a couple of days, perhaps, to do a training course on it.
So obviously it wasn't sort of too difficult then. To the uninitiated, can you sort of explain a little bit about what was involved by using this system?
Coming from a drawing board, one thing that you would be used to using would be construction lines. And the good thing about the CAD system, which in fact Tim Lodge had chosen, there was two systems to choose between: AutoCAD, which most people will know and have heard of, or ME10. And the ME10 system used construction lines and was quite a simple interface. And for somebody coming from a drawing board, particularly because the construction lines were there right at the beginning, it felt quite natural to move onto the CAD system. It wasn't so different to the drawing board route. One big thing that anybody who uses a CAD system now takes for granted is that when you use a drawing board and you are drawing on film with plastic lead, if you put a line down and you put a dark line down, a finished line, rubbing that line out was a hard job, and you spot the surface of the paper. So the last thing you wanted to do was put a line in the wrong place. With a CAD system, you can put as many lines down as you like, and very quickly you can delete them.
Okay, so it was basically, we're more or less sitting at a keyboard. Is it like sitting in front of a computer then?
Yes, we had, yes, it's a computer as we all tend to know it now, with a keyboard, a monitor. Also, we had what was called a digital tablet, and that tablet had lots of commands on it, and we had like a pen, looked like a pencil, so we could operate the CAD system from that.
And when you wanted a printer drawing then, Steve, was that all part of the CAD system?
Yes, with the CAD system we had an A1 plotter, which in those days the plotter actually had pens in it. And the head of the plotter, the head of the printer, would go and pick up the pen and then draw out the drawing which you had on your screen.
What about if you wanted to do a modification? Was that at all difficult?
No, modifications were easier than the drawing board, because it's very quick to delete something and edit it on a CAD system, where on a drawing board, if you wanted to do some significant changes, you almost would have to completely redraw something. We did used to take copies of hand drawings, keep the copy as the original, and then maybe modify the pencil drawing, but that was very slow and laborious. Mm-hmm.